Friends Podcast.
Hi, I'm Diane Hunt. I am an impressionist realist painter connecting with nature through my brush. I work in oil paint and watercolor, and I live in the countryside of Maryland's Eastern Shore, not far from the Chesapeake Bay. You can find me online at dianehuntstudio.com. and on Facebook and Instagram at Diane Hunt Studio.
Hi, I'm Constance Brosnan of Steve Brosnan's Jewelry Designs. I live in Oklahoma on a prairie, and I make handmade jewelry in silver, copper, and brass. I'm an artist that paints. I paint pastels and in oils sometimes.
Hello, this is Bob JKL. I'm the host of this podcast. I am a emerging representational artist. I do historic renderings, seascapes, landscapes, botanicals, birds, and whatnot, with a tight illustrative hand in watercolor, pen and ink, and acrylic paints. And I live in Oklahoma City. Here we are again. It is Monday, April the 19th, 2021, and you are listening to the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 93, and I'm here with my two best artist friends, Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson. Hello, Diane.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Constance. Hello, everybody.
Constance, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about y'all?
This week, it is Art History Week time, our art biography, and I came across an excellent video about the American artist Bob Ross. So for our listeners, if you go to www.talkartpodcast.com, boy, I messed that up, www.talkartpodcast.com, you'll see some very informative videos about Bob Ross, just in case you don't know who he is. And I think a large number of our listeners that are non-artists know who Bob Ross is. But in case you don't, take a look at those videos. And there was an excellent tribute video that was done by PBS, told more detail of his life. And then there's some short informative things you didn't know about Bob Ross. So, Diane, do you know who Bob Ross is?
I know who he is. I've heard of him and stuff. And I know he has art supplies and this, you know, stores and things like that. But I had never watched one of his shows. I guess it was the timing of when they were on. It's like when my kids, you know, I had just gotten out. It was a couple of years, I guess, after I graduated college. And I was had my kids and, you know, I was busy with family stuff. And I never really watched TV much anyway. But yeah, I missed all of his shows. I never saw any of them.
Well, you catch up because they're all over YouTube.
You can ask your PBS station to air them and they will.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing.
They probably are on there. I just don't watch TV much, so I don't see it.
Now, Constance, I know you know about Bob Ross.
Yeah, I do. I've painted some of his paintings before and bought his supplies, and he does have, it's neat to watch him paint because, I mean, if you wanted to know how to paint something, if you're an artist and you don't know how to paint that certain thing, it has to do with landscapes. I mean, it's, you know, he can paint a tree in a couple of seconds, you know, if you want trees to paint, be painted. I've never lived anywhere where they had trees like that. But still, you know, he has a lot of good techniques to pick up on.
Yeah, I knew who he was, and I had only watched a few of his videos. At the high point of his career, I was serving in the Navy, and I was overseas. And now the Armed Forces Television Network, they would occasionally show a Bob Ross video. And so I would watch it then. And even when I was in the Persian Gulf on a ship, they showed some of his videos. And it was so interesting. Here we are, all of us, you know, rough and tumble sailors in the break room. We're all sitting around about 15. it was incredible. How can he do that? You know,
he's very charismatic, you know, to watch, because he just, you know, like they said on that video, he just makes it look like magic, you know, and it does look like magic when he does it, you know. He just makes it happen, you know, and it's like little tree. He lives here or there or whatever.
Yeah. I think part of his popularity was because when he came out, there wasn't a lot of stuff. I don't even know if the internet was really doing anything much at that point. So it was the first really introduction I think a lot of people had of watching a painter paint. And he had a really calming nature about him and soft-spoken and stuff. So I guess a lot of people enjoyed that.
PBS was the promoter, and all of his shows were, you know, on PBS. And like the video is saying, there's been a resurgence and a renewal interest in Bob Ross because of the internet, because now all this stuff is also on the internet. The PBS, they still show his series.
He did up to 31 series.
31 series.
31 series, which is 13 paintings in each series.
Exactly. Yeah. And
he painted three paintings that were alike for the shows. That was really interesting. I had no idea that he did that.
Yeah.
You know, he had the one that he was going to use from, then the one he painted on the show. And I forget what the third one was for, but anyway, he had three of each painting that he did.
Like they said in the video, people ask, where can you buy a Bob Ross painting? You can't.
I did not know that.
You cannot.
I thought that was pretty interesting that he didn't make any money at all from the sale of any of his work. That's pretty crazy.
The instruction seminars and the paint supplies, that's where his income came from. You know, that's where he, you know, got rich. But his actual paintings, he never sold any of his paintings. I got a kick out. They showed a little clip when he was on with Phil Donahue. And Phil Donahue was saying, Bob, you know, none of your paintings will be hanging in any museum. And then
they are now.
Then they clicked to the Smithsonian Institute has a Bob Ross collection.
And that's the only people they have ever released any paintings from the piles of paintings that he did. That's the only ones that were ever available to anywhere. And that's, you know, they only gave them to the Smithsonian.
Right. I looked it up on the internet. It was in 2019 when the Smithsonian announced that they were going to start out with three paintings, but they weren't going to hold a public exhibition, which depressed a lot of people. Well, then in 2020, they held a public exhibition. But they held it combined with, they had a local instructor come to, if you signed up to see the exhibition, you had to also sign up for the class, you know? So, and the money was donated to the Smithsonian. So that's how, you know, they raised money. And in fact, all of his stuff was all related to, with, as far as his artwork was related to raising money, because they said that he of those three paintings, he would donate one of them to a PBS station that aired a show for them to auction off for people to give donations to the station.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
That was the only way you could ever get a Bob Ross painting. You can't buy one.
But how cool was that? I mean, you know.
You know, so, and he was hardcore about getting people to paint, teaching people how to paint. So anybody can learn how to paint. That was his whole purpose in life. And the guy could have been making millions of dollars from his paintings, from selling prints and whatnot. No, none of that. You can't, You know, all he was interested in was selling his instruction courses, you know, teaching other instructors, you know, to going around the country and, you know, holding painting seminars and selling his art supplies, you know, his company, you know, manufacturing, which his company still exists today. I didn't know these things about Bob Ross. I really didn't until after watching these videos, you know, and everything. It
tickled me about how they made the book, you know, because I have one of his books. I think I have two, but I'm not sure. And I did three paintings that I know of out of his books. And I think I even have a video that, you know, or a DVD. And two of them were beach scenes and one was a mountain scene. And Will has the mountain scene. He's not going to let me have that back. But the other two are beach scenes. And I have them up for sale on Facebook, you know, but it's really cool. All the little tricks he teaches you how to make those waves really look great, you know? So, yeah.
I'm going to have to do a Bob Ross tribute painting. Put my hand.
Make some happy trees.
Yeah. Paint some happy trees. I did. I think everybody should try painting some of his paintings.
His buddy Fred. And I mean, that's why I like that one.
Peapod.
Yeah, critique. Yeah, yeah. And then his love.
Peapod the pocket squirrel.
his love for rescuing animals. You know, he funded that. You know, and he was big on that from the time he was a young boy. But then the shocking information, and we were talking about this constantly before we started the recording. The most shocking thing was he had spent 20 years in the Air Force, which I didn't know, and he was a hard case
sergeant.
Sergeant.
Real sergeant. I mean,
yeah. When you look at him and listen to him in those videos, it is hard to wrap your mind around the fact that he was a sergeant in the Air Force, you know, because he said, you know, and he said that once he got out of the service and he didn't want to talk harsh and mean like that anymore. He just wanted to talk with a nice soft voice, you know, because he was tired of having to do that to people.
He was stationed in Alaska, so that's where he got all of his inspiration for all of his painting. Mm-hmm.
All those beautiful mountains up there, they are pretty.
So all of his
I've seen the Rockies, so I know they're pretty, and I've seen them with snow on them and stuff when I used to drive a truck. But
majority of his paintings, especially the mountain scenes and lakes and trees, are all from memory of his memories of living in Alaska all those years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Alaska for most of the time when he was in the service.
Alaska's on my bucket list. Alaska and going down the Grand Canyon on a mule. That's on my bucket list.
Yeah, I don't know about that, going down the Grand Canyon on a mule.
I love mules. I would love to ride a mule down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon and ride it back up.
I'd like to do that too.
They have
I'm so brave.
They have actual trips that you can go on to do that, you know. Mm-hmm. These people that make I guess their vacation package or something. Yeah, I've actually looked it up and they do. I would love to do that.
Not me. Nope.
Well, different folks.
Yeah.
Not one of my, you know. When I was younger, you know, I had ideals that I was going to do things. Like when I was in the Navy, a friend of mine, we were out in California going through technical school. They had an instructor who would teach us scuba diving was a real big thing. Of course, you know, being out there in San Diego, you know, and boy, we got all enthused and yeah, we're going to take this scuba diving course. And for Navy personnel, since he was Navy personnel, it only costs us like $20 for like a...
Oh, geez.
Wow. It's more expensive if you're a real person, you know. So,
yeah.
Because I've done it, you know.
Like a 1978, 1980, you know. So anyhow, boy, I'm out there. I'm all enthused and we're excited. And of course, you had to spend the first two or three days in the pool to learn how to, you know, put your gear on and everything. And so, you know, you sat in a classroom for like a half.
We did.
Then you went to the pool. Okay.
Right.
So, you know, we're learning everything. And then he had us put this weight belt on and jump in at the 10-foot deep end. And so I did that. And of course I went straight down, belt off. And I, next thing you know, I am running out of air and I'm motioning and everything. He had to come down and take the belt off so I could come back up. My buddy was like, Clyde, what? You know, I said, oh man. So then we was out to the club and we were drinking that night. I said, I'm dropping out.
What?
I said, no, I can't do this. I said,
not for you.
I can't get in the pool. What would I do out in the ocean?
Yeah, I learned to do that too. And one time I was coming up too fast and the instructor grabbed my arm and said, because you can't talk. So he just looked at him and I was going, so he made me, you know, come up slower. You're supposed to follow your bubbles up and not come up faster.
So don't get the bends.
Yeah.
So anyhow, that's the end of my scuba diving days. Well, then later, skydiving.
Oh no, never. I would never do that. You could get me to jump out of a plane to say, I just have to die. Somebody would have to carry me out of the door because I would never jump on my own.
Young in the Navy. Well, I had ideals to do all kinds of things, but nope.
I think people who bungee jump are crazy. Yeah. What happens if it breaks? You voluntarily jumped off a bridge? Crazy people.
My listeners are probably saying, what has this got to do with Bob Ross?
No. Well, he was in the service.
Bob Ross will get all of those crazy ideas out of your head. He will make you want to paint happy trees and happy, serene landscapes. Yes.
Yeah.
I never wanted to paint like Bob Ross, but I did enjoy what few videos I watched. And occasionally I'll catch a video on YouTube. I'll sit back and watch, you know, but it just mystifies me how quick he is, you know, and
like Zorro. Yeah.
And there's no way, even if I did decide I want to try to paint like him, there's no way that I could keep up, you know. Which leads us to our funny video from Mikey, Jerry.
Oh, my gosh, it was so funny.
We had had presented that before, I think about a year ago we watched it. But I thought it was really appropriate for our Bob Ross discussion.
He is so funny. I swear he's funny.
For our listeners, you have got to watch this. You will guarantee you will bust out. Mikey trying to paint like Bob Ross. He ran into problems where the, what was it? No Prussian blue.
No Prussian. he's cleaning the paint. He does it and cleans the paintbrush off and goes after another paintbrush before Mikey even realizes what he's done. Yeah. It was funny. I mean, if anybody's ever tried to follow a teacher on a video and watch them and paint along with them, it's exactly what you experience when you're trying to do that.
Both of us were enrolled in Kelly Folsom's, you know.
I have to stop hers all the time while I'm painting with her.
30 minutes long and her vital art, you know, art life sessions. And she says, you know, she doesn't expect us to paint with her. She says, you're welcome to try, but she knows that no one can keep up with her.
Well, she knows what she's going to do next and you don't. I mean, you're just trying to follow along with her and learn. So.
Oh yeah. I usually, and that's like, if I was seriously going to try paint like Bob Ross, I would watch the video completely and take notes of the colors that he uses. You know, and that's what I do with Kelly. You see, I'll watch Kelly's videos and then I've got a notepad and I write down the color mixing that she uses, you know, and then even that's hard. Cause then when I sit down and try to do it, I can't hardly read my own handwriting. Yeah.
Yeah. I watch it once and then I do it over again. And then I paint along with her, but I have to pause it a lot, you know, because I get befuddled in a certain area and go, whoop, that's not working. So yeah.
It's interesting, you know, Bob Ross's approach, what really, really, as a personal achievement for me, if I could get one of my paintings in the collection of the Smithsonian, I don't care if I ever sell another painting. If the Smithsonian would accept some of my paintings in their collection, I'm in good company. I'm with Bob Ross and several other, you know, artists. That's
American paintings, yeah.
That's history. That is, you know, they're the epitome of history, you know, America.
Well, you kind of always hope that your paintings are not going to get painted over by some other artist or,
yeah,
or thrown in the dumpsters or whatever. But, you know, I mean, we all aspire to hope that our paintings, after we're gone, live on in somebody else's house or something, you know.
Yep, exactly. Well, I know I've got several collectors. It's, you know, at least they're going to hang on to them. And of course, my two daughters. Like I was telling before recorded, I shipped about 39 pieces of artwork to my oldest daughter over in Italy. And then I was communicating with her. I said, you know, I miss my paintings. I'm kind of lonely. You know, they were my companions. Can you send some back? And her reply was, no, they're mine.
Yeah.
So I've lost them. They're gone. They're in her hands, but I know she's going to take good care of them. You know, she's supposed to try to sell some of them, but that might happen. And that might not.
I doubt that happens.
Really?
Oh, gosh.
It was interesting. He didn't, in his entire career, he didn't try to appease the critics, the art critics. He just completely ignored, you know, and people told.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that just shows you, you know.
That he was not out to do that at all. He was out to teach people how to paint. He had a gut belief, a heartfelt belief that anybody can learn to paint. Regardless if you had talent or not, he says, don't worry about that. He says, and if you want to paint, if you love painting, do it. And that's just.
I can't draw a straight line. You don't need to draw a straight line.
Well, I think it was really important that he wasn't trying to sell his artwork. He was, you know, to make a living. He was selling his art supplies to make a living.
Right.
But he wasn't really concerned with trying to sell the paintings. And that's completely like opposite of what most painters, you know, most artists are trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different way of looking at things, I guess.
Really different. But a focus 100% on the viewer. I mean, that's, mm-hmm, you know, that's the only way to, no other way to put it. And the thing about
the Weber company who took up making his paint, his oil paints, is a very good company. And Golden took over this other, I don't know if it was Golden or Weber took over, this other guy that was from New York that I found, discovered his paints while I was upstate New York one time. I like to use his paint, but it's really, really, it's very pigment concentrated and it's hard to even get it out of the tube sometimes. So, I mean, it's just, it's, I think the same company is making that paint as Weber, the company that's making Bob Ross's paint, but he had to make it a circuit to a certain viscosity so that it was, you know, would do what he wanted to do when he was painting.
Yep. Speaking of heavily pigmented paints, you know, I've got some paints manufactured by Blick. Well, the company Utrecht out of New York, but Blick bought the company. They've been, mm-hmm, around 1959 or something like that. Oh my God. Those things are so highly pigmented. They have pigment in them and the viscosity, if I say a word, it's not real thick, but they're kind of creamy, you know, which is what I like. But I was working on one of Kelly Folsom's, you know, lessons this last week. And, she required you mix a little bit of the lemon light with the white. And I put a dab on like what the other brands that I've used, two lemon yellow. It wasn't as light. Because
if you've been using student paints instead of professional oil paints, when you get professional oil paints, it's a totally different thing. And then the cremants or zinc white that she likes to paint with is not as heavy as titanium white. So yeah, it doesn't if you put a little bit of color in with that white, it goes that color really fast.
Now, I'm not hating anything, folks, but hey, if you go to Dick Blick Art Supplies and you order their Utrecht oil colors, believe me, they have a wide variety of colors, and they are outstanding. I mean, just a joy to paint with. So I'm always been an M. Graham fan. Yes, I still am. But my second choice is Utrecht. Utrecht is, I've got quite a bit of those. Actually, the reason why I ordered them was for Kelly's class. She has certain specific colors that M. Graham didn't make, but Utrecht. Yeah. So all the colors for Kelly's class, they're Utrecht brands, yeah, that I use. Because Chanel, whatever.
Sennelier,
way too expensive for me. I'm sorry. I'm just.
Well, I'm paint with what you can afford to paint with. That's
$15, tubes of paint. The Utrecht were in the same price range as the M. Graham, $6, $9, $10, $8, $10. So I think that's, for my.
Yeah. It's like your Cad Lemon, the Cad Lemon yellow.
Yeah.
It's so concentrated, you don't have to use much of it. I mean, you'll get used to, the Cad colors, and they last a long time. I have tubes of paint that are Cads from, I don't know, that I've had for 20 something years, and they still are good,
This is the Friends podcast. I had to bring that up, to you too. And when you mentioned, Bob Ross's paint, I've never thought I would, try any of his paints. I might. I don't, just to see what everybody talks about, But just the idea for our listeners, I would really like to know who hasn't heard of Bob Ross in the United. If you live in the United States, yeah. He is everywhere. To this day, his shows are still played on PBS. They're all reruns. And, of course, he's all over YouTube and, his happy little trees. And, by the way, I think I'm on to something. My last this is the fourth person that has commented on my botanical, my flower paintings, that they look like happy little flowers, like they're dancing. I think I'm going to be the Bob Ross of happy little flowers.
Forward, yeah.
All right. We got any more comments about Bob Ross?
No, I guess so.
Got all.
I think we pretty much covered it.
Yeah.
If you go to www.talkartpodcast.com, talkartpodcast.com. There's the link for the videos about Bob Ross, and they're just enjoyable. And especially watch that Jerry Artorama's Mikey Paints Like Bob Ross. That is a real hoot, guaranteed to put a smile on your face. You've been listening to the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 93 for April the 19th, 2021. My name is Clyde J. Kale, and we've been talking about Bob Ross and art materials and whatnot. And Clyde being scared to do things. I've been talking with Diane Hunt, Johnson Bronson. I'm going to say goodnight to Diane. Diane, say goodbye to everybody.
Goodnight, Clyde. Goodnight, Constance. Goodnight, everyone.
Goodnight, Clyde. Goodnight, Diane. Goodnight, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Yes, I'll second that as always. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy these podcasts, please give us a star rating, a thumbs up, however you listen to the podcast. And feel free to send some comments if you have a subject that you would like us to talk about. Until next time, bye-bye.
The Artist Friends Podcast is produced and edited by Clyde J. Kale. Participating artists, Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson, and Clyde J. Kale. You can find more information about Diane Hunt at www.dianehuntstudio.com. Constance Bronson at www.etsy.com/shop CBROSNANS. Clyde J. Kale at www.cjkaleartworks.com. If you would like to participate or appear as a guest on the Artist Friends podcast, please email cjkale@mystery-otr.com. If you enjoy these podcasts, please give us a thumbs up or a star rating. And most of all, send us your comments. This podcast is issued under the Creative Commons license.